am I, just a little bit about myself. I think I know most people here, but sometimes, you know, you take for granted, like, people really don't know who you are. So I'm Sandy Miller. I'm married to Steve Miller. I have 3 children. I've been part of Journey Church since September of 2009, so we've almost been here since it started. We actually were attending a church, and Valerie Miller, my sister-in-law, was like, you've got to come here, Journey. You got to come here, you know, go to Jesse, hear Jesse preach and go to Journey Church. And so our pastor was away for one weekend, much like this weekend. So none of you go anywhere. So we went to Journey Church just to check it out in Bonfils, and we knew immediately, like, that was our home, and we never went back to the other church, so it was kind of awkward, but that's who we are. My husband and I have been care pastors, we've been deacons, and I lead the women's ministry here at Journey Church, so I am very used to talking to women. So if some of the men out there could just give me a smile every once in a while and, like, a thumbs up, that would be awesome. Thank you, John. Thank you, Rich. Okay, so we're in the juice series, so we're still in it, but I'm not juicing anything today. So have any of you all been juicing at home? Yeah? Yeah, it is pretty good. So it is a series about squeezing out the good. So, you know, what we put in and trying to get everything out of it. And so just like we've done in other messages, let's read our opening verse, if we can read it together, all right? And Kylie is used to working with Jesse, and so her and I are going to hook up, okay, Kylie, and we're going to be on together. So here's the verse. We'll read it on a count of 3, all right? 1, 2, 3. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. Very good. So in the past messages, if you have not been here today, I am not the pastor, but I will review for you what we've talked about. We've talked about fruit and juicing fruit, and so if some of my people will help me out, what was the apple about? Prayer. So an apple a day keeps the pastor away. And we talked about carrots. Do you remember that one? Vision or scheduling, having vision. You guys are so good. And then we talked about the pepper. What was that about? Church attendance, right? You got to attend church. So good for you guys today. Puts the spice in your, I'm not going to do the yeah, 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 yeah that Jesse does. And I don't know why I'm hanging on to a banana. Let's see. And then we talked about, I don't have a tomato or a passion fruit, but the passion fruit was for marriage. And the tomato was for the singles. And then we ended last week with the pear for parenting, all right? And we will get back to some of that in just a moment. But today I'm going to talk to you about the fruit basket. Yeah? Fruit basket. But before I do that, I'd really like to pray just to kick this off. So if you will bow your heads with me. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for who you are, Lord. And I just pray, as I speak, God, that people would hear your words, not mine. I pray, God, that you would open their hearts, you would open their eyes to see something or hear something or desire something that they have never wanted before. Lord, may you be glorified, God. May your word be glorified. And I'll give you all the honor and praise for what you do through it. I love you and I praise you for your son, and it's in his name I pray. Amen. Amen. So I'm here today to share with you the fruit basket, which a lot of you probably would think, oh, she's going to hit on the fruit of the Spirit, right? Galatians 5:22 that talks about love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Yeah? What do you guys think? Lori's back there saying no. She's not going to talk about that. It is what, when we operate in the fruits of the Spirit that God freely gives us, it is represented by all the goodness God squeezes out of us. So when we are operating in the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, that is when God is squeezing that out of us. But today, the representation of the fruit basket may be a bit of fruit of the Spirit, but it really is on scripture memory. And that is the look I thought I would get. So I'm here today to build a case for you as to why you would want to memorize scripture. You know, like, I think I just lost half of you, but by some of the looks, I may have lost all of you. And when I was sitting down with Jesse to share the notes with him, I said, I'm going to lose half of them as soon as I say scripture memory. And he's like, well, you may just soften that a little bit, Sandy. Don't be too harsh. You know, don't be too harsh on your church family. Until we went and found a 2015 Lifeway research study. So this is 2015. So Kylie, if you'll throw that up there, that would be great. And I'm going to look at my notes closely because I don't want to misrepresent. But we have it for you up here. So it says 45%, so that's a little under half, of those who regularly attend church read their Bible more than once a week. Over 40% of their Bible people in church read their Bible only occasionally, maybe 1 or 2 hours a month. And then about 1 in 5, so look around, find 5 people, probably one of you, not saying that about our church family, but possibly there are 20% of us in this room that will never read our Bible at all. Yet, we go to church every Sunday, we believe that the Bible is God's word, and we believe that it's divinely inspired. So that in and of itself kind of tells me we have to find a desire and a passion to read the Bible at a minimum. And then I'm going to present a case to you all about why you would want to memorize scripture, okay? So a case is like a defense. So that's what I'm here to do today. So if you don't remember anything else that I say, I want you to remember 4 simple points. And I'm going to have you repeat them after me. Repeat after me. All right? It is a choice. It is a gift. Read it. Say it. Okay? It is a choice. It is a gift. Read it. Say it. Okay. That's the case for scripture memory. Thank you, Rich. All right. So let's hit on a little bit on a choice. Now, I'm going to back away a little bit, and I'm going to go into teaching mode, all right? So if you don't like to be taught, try to stay awake. But I am going to teach, and if you're a note taker, this would be a good time to have your notes. I'm a note taker. And have your Bible out. See these lovely women? That's why I love them so much. All right, so two points. It is a choice. So we have to make a choice to put good things in our body, right? That's what this juice series is all about. So we have to put good food, prayer, church attendance, and even scripture memory. And I'm going to speak on a little bit about why it's a gift as well. But let me give you an example first, and I'm going to ask you to read with me Matthew 13, verse 23, and it is about the parable of the sower. Now, it's a long parable, but I'm going to read to you the last line of that parable. So in Matthew 13, verse 23, but the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man or woman who hears the word and understands it. He or she produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. All right? Parables can be a bit confusing, right? You have to kind of look for the deeper meaning of them. And Christ was specific and purposeful in doing that. So we're going to try to dive into what that scripture means. So it's talking about a seed being planted. Well, I'm a farm girl, so I can totally relate to this. My brother, Pat, is right there. And so, Pat, if I tell a lie, you make sure you correct me, okay? But when we grew up on a farm, we cared for the farm and we worked the farm. Like, that was just our day. My dad got up at 4 a.m. in the morning, and he went to work. And a lot of times we ate dinner at 9 o'clock at night. And so that was just our way of life. We cared for it, and we worked the farm. And so that verse is talking about a seed which represents the Word of God, all right, falling on good soil. So how do you get good soil? You have to work it. You have to cultivate it. You have to get the weeds out. You have to get it ground down where it's fine enough to accept the seed. And that's the same thing that we have to do. We have to work at our faith. We have to work at it. Now, I'm not preaching a works-based gospel, so I'm not saying you can work your way to heaven at all. That's not what I'm saying. There's one way to heaven, and it's through Jesus Christ. However, when you become a born-again believer, you have to work out your faith. And this verse is going to speak to that. So when we plant a seed, we can work the ground, so we can work it and care for it. That's the choice. But God does the growing. Amen. All right? So we can work at putting all the good stuff in our body, like scripture memory, church attendance, but God makes it grow. And that is the gift. Amen. So we want to also be able to live out things that we find in the fruit basket. So as I'm studying, let me back up to say when I want to work out my faith, how I might do that, okay? Today, for today's example, we're talking about scripture memory, right? It's a choice. I have to make a choice to do it. So if I want to know about love, what I wouldn't do is go watch like the summer movie series, like the 27 Dresses. If I really want to learn about love, I'm not going to watch, you know, like 13 chick flicks and be taken down the road where the world says what the world's definition is of love. But I could go to the Bible and I could read 1 Corinthians 13 that says love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not self-seeking. That's the world's definition of love. It's nothing about me. It's all about giving and operating in the good fruit that God is working in me to live out. So he's growing what love is in my being when I memorize 1 Corinthians 13. So like when I'm angry at my husband, that never happens. I have to think, like, it's not rude, it's not proud, and I can't operate in being rude or proud towards him when I want to operate in anger. So God instills that in me to live out what love is. Does that make sense? Like, another example would be peace. Like, how many of you feel like you're in a storm a lot in your life? Just can you raise your hand? Would you be? Okay, so if you're in a storm of your life, what are you seeking? You're seeking out peace and calm, right? You would love that. You would love for things to be peaceful or have calm in your life. So a lot of times, as Christians, what we'll do, instead of going to the Bible and finding out what God says about peace, we'll throw it out on a social media post and talk about the person that we're mad about, or just talk about the situation that you're in. Now, there's nothing wrong with venting sometimes, but only after. And maybe not at all, that you've went to the Word and say, okay, God, I want peace in my life and I want calm. What can I do to get it? And you might be pointed to Philippians 4:6 that says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your requests before God. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard, that's a good word, your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So that's what scripture memory can do for you. It talks about the right things to instill in our life, but I've made the choice now not to put my drama out to social media or not to call my 7 girlfriends and complain about the situation. I've just taken it to God, and I've given him my prayers, and I've asked him to help me with it. And I'm thankful for the storm that I'm in. And then I wait for him to do the work. I've got to make the choice to do it, but I've got to allow him to do the work. So you kind of seeing it? Okay. Good. So when I'm going to look at my notes just a little bit because I got to regather. So part of this, and I wrote this down, is we don't have to work hard at being good or kind or having love and peace. We will be good and kind and have love and peace when we start to instill, when we start to make the choice to put these good things in our body. And then the gift is what God just exudes out of us. I have this little picture in my pocket. This is, can you guys see it? It's like a cup of water that's overflowing. Like you can't put any more in it. And that's what God wants to do with us as Christians. He wants to fill us up to the fullness of Christ. And you can find that in Ephesians 3. Like that's the fullness that he starts to pour out of you when you make the choice to start instilling some disciplines in your life. All right? Okay. What's the Word of God say about the Word of God? Does that make sense? So we're going to switch gears a little bit. So we know that if we go back to the parable of the sower. Sorry, Kylie, I pulled you back to that. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. So we got to hear it, and then we got to try to understand it. But let's focus on the seed. The seed is representative of God's word. So what's God's word tell us about God's word? So I'm going to throw a bunch of scriptures up here, and they're going to start now. It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. All right, so these, I'm not going to go through all of them, but keep them coming, Kylie. These are on the app, and I can give you a copy of my notes. The words of the Lord are flawless. The words of the Lord are right and true. Keep them coming, Kylie. The word of the Lord, by it, the heavens were made. It endures forever. It will last forever. It's alive and active. We're to keep his word. God's word cannot be chained. It can't be restrained. We're to preach the word. I don't know if I will ever do this again, but we are to preach the word. We are to fix his words in our hearts and minds and keep them going. But I'm going to stay on Psalm 119:11. It's to be hidden in our hearts. How do you think you hide God's word in your hearts? You memorize it. And that's a command in the Bible. So if you don't like it, you can go rip out Psalm 119:11, set it aside. But it is a command that we're to hide it so that we don't sin against him. And I know she'll flow a few more up there, but I have them all here, and they are on the app. All right? So we know I've covered 2 points now. It's a choice and a gift, right? So what were the other two? Read it and say it. So I love these points. You've got to read it. So remember what I talked about in the 2015 Lifeway study about reading it? That same study, if you go to Christianity Today, you can read the whole article. It's pretty good. In part of the article, it said Christians actually believe that Harry Potter is from the Bible. It also, yeah, like lots of those things. Not even like it had a foreshadowing of that, but like that's where that story was drawn from. And these were Christians that were polled, regular church attenders. So in this poll, in this study, they talked about not being an illiterate Christian. And so how do we combat our illiteracy? So I want to go through 8 points. You guys are like, dang, she's teaching again. 8 points, but they're good. I'm going to be quick with them, all right? And I think you can we'll easily apply them to our life, but they are on the app. I don't have a slide. The first one, how do you become a literate Christian? So how do you combat illiteracy? Is to confess your sins and wrongdoings to God and ask for forgiveness. Now, in our church, we like to say we are all, say it a little louder, we are all, we're all jacked up. That's a favorite saying of our church. But my family, being jacked up isn't licensed to stay jacked up. Okay? So you should, as a follower of Christ, have conviction in your life about your sin. fairly regularly. Okay? And so when that conviction comes on, we don't just write it off and say, hey, God, give me some more grace, some more mercy, because I'm all jacked up. We try to become broken, and we try to confess our sins to God and ask him to make us better, all right? And so that's one of the ways you can combat illiteracy. You can be a Christ follower with Jesus for years, just making a walk, right? Like my 22-year-old sitting out there, like, he doesn't have it all figured out. My husband and I, we don't have it all figured out. Luna and Jerry probably don't have it all figured out. We're always growing in Christ, but we should be wanting to walk with God as we grow. We have to be willing to obey God no matter the cost. Do you ever pray the prayers, no matter what, God? They're kind of scary. But I would dare you to pray them and see what God does in your life, no matter the cost. I pray, you can pray for the spiritual status of unbelievers. You can read a book about increasing spiritual growth. So like I have a book that Allie gave me, and it's called, I forget the name, it's like Spiritual Disciplines. It's about spiritual disciplines, which makes a book like you want to just grab that off the shelf and read it, right? Nobody wants to read about the spiritual disciplines, but it's pretty good because it talks about the choices we make. You can be discipled or mentored one-on-one by a more spiritually mature Christian. So I kind of teetered with whether or not to share this or not, but I feel like God has given me an okay light to do that. So many years ago, I met with a couple of ladies. When I started going to this church, we just met, and for an hour we prayed. That's all we did. We caught up a little bit, talked about where we were reading, and then we prayed. And that kind of evolved into me wanting to reproduce what God had done in my relationship with these two other ladies. And so on a regular basis, a couple times a year, there are some ladies that meet. It's not advertised through the church. It was as easy as, hey, Cindy, you want to go get a cup of coffee? Or, hey, Cindy, you want to meet and study the Bible? We weren't a book club. We just study the book. And so that goes on a couple times a year. It's so easy. It doesn't go on for very long. But we just pick a verse. Right now, it's 1 Peter 3:15. And it says, but in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. And I tell you guys, like, when you start to memorize a scripture, words on the pages start jumping off at you because you start to see hope in everything that you're reading. You're like, I didn't even know hope existed that much in the Bible. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. That talks about the sovereignty of God. And so we're learning about what our inheritance is in Jesus Christ. If I call myself a Christ follower and I really believe that Jesus is working in my life, pretty soon, like, I'm reading that, you know, God, I have as much power, the power that raised Christ from the dead is available to me. My inheritance is eternity. And so it's just good stuff to dig into the Word. And if you want to talk to me about that after church, we'll do that. And we memorize Bible verses, so there's always that challenge to memorize the verse that we're studying. So again, these are the 8 points. Number 8 was attend a small group focused on Bible study. So what is Tuesday nights around here lately? It's Fusion. And so you're just digging into the Word and learning about God. It's great. So we can read it, and we can say it. So I want to get a little more practical here. So I want to throw up the Deuteronomy 5-9 verses in chapter 6. So I want to read this out and read it. You don't have to read it out loud with me, but read it with me. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your own foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 9. So if we break that down, that verse, there's a command in it to love your Lord, your God, with all your heart, not half your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Not just one day a week strength. All of your strength. Like he's calling us to make God our everything. And he says, these commandments I give you. Impress them on your children. Talk, that was the parenting, right? That was the parenting. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. So it's pretty much saying, all of your days, instill it into your life. Is that hard to hear? Like, is that weird? As a Christian, you're like, there's no way I can make God every part of my life all the time. Sure you can. You can. You can be always mindful of him. So I want to be practical, what we did. So my husband and I were raised Catholic. And I appreciate my upbringing in the Catholic Church. But it had nothing in my situation, had nothing to do with my relationship with God. It was more about a religion. And I realized that Jesus Christ stood at a door and knocked and asked me to come in and hang out with him. And I thought that was a really cool invitation. And so God worked in my heart to just say, no matter the cost, Jesus Christ. So when my husband and I we both kind of came to know God about the same time. We had just finished college, and we made a profession of faith, and then just started to dig in with what all that meant. Because when your world gets rocked by God, you are never the same. And so we had kids. We had kids early on. My oldest, Corey, I had him we weren't married, and I had a baby. And then we got married. So we had him all through college. We raised a little one while Steve finished his journalism degree at Mizzou, and I finished my physical therapy degree at Mizzou with a little one. So part of Corey's upbringing didn't have a lot of God in it, but it was in 94. You were born in 94, correct? 1994. I was pregnant with Casey, and I read a Bible verse, and I had Steve's family. They had been leaving the Catholic Church, and when you leave the Catholic Church, it's not good, especially if you have devout Christian or devout Catholic parents. But read a verse about being born again in Romans 6, 1, and I literally was reading it because I was trying to instill it and figure it all out, and I literally threw the Bible off of my lap and went, oh my gosh, I get it. I didn't come to an altar. I just remembered reading the verse and figuring out that you could be dead in your sins but alive in Christ. And I was saved in a papasan chair in our duplex in Columbia, Missouri. So we started instilling it in our kids' lives, right? So I'm getting off track. No matter what you do, you can instill Jesus Christ. So for us, for the Miller family, we started to take vacations. And not like Disneyland vacations. We went to Life Action Family Camp. So that's where the guys are right now. That's how much it impacted our family. We would take a week in the summer, and we would go up to family camp. It was restful. It was relaxing. But we got a ton of God poured into us. And so that's where the men are at Momentum this weekend. And you will have that available, you men that are in the crowd, on November 11th and 12th. And I beg you to go to that. It is so good. You'll hear the same speaker that they are hearing. So we took vacations. We did things like Awana with our kids. Does anybody know the Awana program? It stands for Approved Workmen Are Not Ashamed. It's kind of a Southern Baptist thing. But I want to show you. This is little Allie's cubby vest. Okay, so she got this cubby vest at age 4 and 5. Now, every one of these patches represent a scripture that she memorized throughout the whole year. That's a 4 and 5-year-old. And she got cubby once she had filled up all of her vest and all of her patches here. And then she got little cubby on her vest. Now, a lot of you know my daughter. And I'm not saying that my kids are perfect, because they're not. And that my kids will tell you their parents are not perfect. They've seen us fight. They've seen us fight ugly. But they've seen us make up the right way. And so as a 4 or 5-year-old, Allie went, Casey went, Corey went. they started to get scripture memory instilled in them. On Sunday nights, we would have our family devotion time. And so not a lot of times did we just go run into the couch, because we knew he was going to nail us for the scripture that we were supposed to be working on. And like, if we didn't have it, we were going to get a talking to, right, Case? And a lot of times there'd be something really good on TV that we all wanted to watch as a family. And Dad would be like, Steve would like, turn the TV off. Okay, it's time for devotions. And so then the whining would start, right? Like, not all the time. There were some times that it was just really good, but it was hard. You had to make the choice to do it. It became a discipline. And Steve is definitely a disciplinarian. God love you, babe. So he made it happen. So remember when Jesse was talking about the fruit in the series? He was talking about, and I probably didn't write it down good enough, but be the parent in the beginning, and it will produce a friendship in the end. Do you all remember that? Okay. So I don't know where my there it is, where the wireless mic is. So I want to pray, or I want to play for you something that happens every week in my life since my kids became adults. I have an app on my phone. It's called the Voxer app. And you basically, kind of works like a walkie-talkie. You basically record a message, and it notifies the person that you're sending them to. All right? So then they can listen to the message, and then they can send you something back. You know, so none of us should text and drive, right? Right. But you can voice record very easily. So the fruit of my parenting and Steve's parenting in our kids' life is starting to be lived out as our kids become adults. I watched my son get married this weekend, my oldest, not that one. He got married in Colorado. It was beautiful. But he just wanted his family there. He doesn't like a lot of fanfare. And it was probably one of the most intimate wedding situations that I've ever seen in my life. And I'd do it again in a heartbeat. But if my kids want to have a big shebang, we'll do that too. My daughter Allie, she's in Bible college. She officiated the service. I think that made it pretty special. She wants to be a worship pastor. She's going to Thailand this summer. She's not going to take a break, you know, and go and relax and hang out. My 22-year-old son, I ask him permission to do this. Him and I box each other every Monday morning, and we pray for each other's week. That's the fruit, you all. That's good fruit. If you'll just hang with me for a couple minutes, I want to play this for you.
Morning, Mama. Hope you're doing well. I wanted to say thank you again for doing my laundry Saturday. That was really nice of you. I appreciate it. So just wanted to pray for your morning and your week. So, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you humbly today just to thank you for your grace, your provision, Lord. For your hand of blessing and mercy over our lives, God. Pray that we not take it for granted today. Lord, just so thankful for my family, Lord, the influences that you've allowed me to grow up with, the experiences you've given me to shape me, Lord. I thank you for my mom. I thank you for letting me grow up around a woman with such a servant's heart, such a caring heart, someone so willing to do so much for those that she loves, God. Thank you for placing a real-life example of unconditional love around me, God. I just pray that you bless her this week. Lord, that you keep her safe, that you bless her car. Lord, that you continue to bless her place of work. Lord, that you continue to grow and be successful. God, of any situation today or this week or moving forward, God, just help us remember to give you the glory and the honor and the praise, because you are more than worthy of it. We know that your plan is much bigger than ours. God, we just pray all these things in your name. Amen. Love you, Mama. Have a good week.
That's a 22-year-old boy that just got out of college. And I don't say that to blow him up. He frustrates me. He debates everything we say. He likes to make fun of me, but he prays for me. And he prayed for silly things. See, I'm working a new job. I sold my clinic here in Troy, and I'm part of this clinic down in St. Louis called the Ozzie Smith Center. And I asked myself many times, how does a farm girl from Hawk Point become associated with one of the most popular St. Louis figures named Ozzie Smith? It's because I'd ask God, no matter the cost. I was set up. I'd moved back home. I owned my own business. I was 20 minutes away from it. And I prayed, God, no matter the cost. And he has passions inside of me that I know will be lived out one day. Passions to go back to Burundi and see those kids again. But right now, he needs me in a regenerative medicine clinic in Chesterfield, Missouri, where I drive an hour one way. And that's why Casey said, bless my car, because I hate driving in traffic. And so he prays for me, because I hate driving in traffic. And so that becomes the fruit. I believe it's in Matthew 7. I want to check so that I don't tell you wrong. Yeah, it's in Matthew 7, verses 16 through 20, and it says, by your fruit you will recognize them. And he's talking a little bit about the Pharisees, but it applies to us. If we're Christians, we're going to have some good fruit. We're going to have prayer in our life. We're going to care about how we are raising our kids and we're parenting them. We're going to make the choice to instill reading the Bible, even when it doesn't feel really good. There's nothing about Christianity where God says, I'm going to make you feel good about this. There's nothing. But I tell you what, when you connect with God in real, authentic prayer, there is nothing that will ever compare to it. It is so good. So if you all will make the choice and realize it's a gift, if you will read it and you will say it, God will start to squeeze out of you all the goodness that he wants, okay? Now, I want to give a couple warnings. So this is good fruit. If I put this through the juicer right now, we would have that yummy stuff coming out of it. This is plastic fruit. It's very empty. There, you can't juice it. So I would just ask you, like, don't just memorize scripture to say you've memorized it. Like, that becomes vanity, and it's prideful. And God can't really work the good out of it that he would want to. So you don't just want to memorize it just to say, well, I can quote Philippians 4:6. Make it do something in you. Ask God to make it live out in your life. Right? You start to pray for patience, you'll get lots of challenges to be patient. And then this is for the believers here in this service, okay? So if you're not a believer, in a few moments you can come up and you can say, I want to know what that lady was talking about when she said she threw her Bible on the floor and said, I can be dead to sin and alive in Christ. I want to know how to do that. But for the people that are sitting in the church, if you're part of that statistic, I want to show you what happens to you eventually if you do nothing at all. Whew. That's some rotten fruit. And it smells really bad. See, when you're not putting those spiritual disciplines in your life, where it says, I have hidden your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you, if you're not being convicted of sin, then you're likely not hiding his word in your heart. and you will rot. And Christianity all of a sudden will become nothing to you. Pretty soon, the people at church, they won't excite you as much. And you won't make the friendships that you thought you always wanted. And you'll go back to your old way of life. But if you will instill the fruit, the good fruit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the faithfulness, the self-control, if you start to instill that in your life, maybe not immediately, but in years to come, God will do something beautiful in you, much like those fruit baskets setting up there. So I want to break it down for you practically, how you do that. If you're like, okay, Sandy, I'm going to start reading it, but I won't understand a word that I'm reading. Go find a verse that you know and like, or that you may have heard that means something to you, and read it. Read it in a couple of versions. Read it in the NIV. Read it in the Message. Read it in the New Living Translation. You can get those all on your smartphone through a Bible app. And see what fits you well. And just start staying in that version and reading it. You can put it on the notes on your phone. So when I'm sitting in a doctor's office or when I'm waiting on someone, I can go to the notes section on my phone and just look at the verses that I've been trying to memorize. And so I have that. One of my most favorite things to do is to use a dry erase marker on my mirror, because like I take 30 minutes to get ready every morning, and it takes me about 10 minutes to get everything off at night. So it just takes 30 minutes. So when I'm looking at myself getting ready, putting on the cream that's supposed to help with the wrinkles, but I still have them, I see my verse. That's how I memorized 1 Peter 3:15. I took a dry erase marker and I wrote it up on my mirror that I get ready by every morning for about 30 minutes and every night for about 10. So easy. Do you all have mirrors in your houses? Do you have windows in your houses? Because you can use a dry erase marker. Totally, you can do that. And you can memorize scripture and you start hiding it in your heart. So if our communion team would kind of make their way up, and the deacons who are supposed to pray, if they'll kind of make their way up, that would be wonderful. I hope I did it justice. But you know what? Even if I didn't, thank you. Even if I didn't, those were God's words that he wanted me to say. And so I just pray, like, if you would just, with me for a few minutes, just bow your heads. And I just want you to kind of think about what it is you're instilling in your life. Like, are you doing the hard? Are you just kind of floating through? Is your definition of being a good Christian just attending church once a week? Or do you walk away convicted by the Holy Spirit to do something more? Is there a yearning in your heart to just abandon everything and follow Jesus? Just like Peter did at the lake. You guys, it's so good. There's a reason fruit tastes so good, because it's good. But so is Jesus Christ. He is so good. But we have to be willing to get in relationship with him. Make choices that maybe aren't popular or things that you've never done before. Make those choices. And then let him grow you, just like the seed. You can't grow yourself, but God can grow you, and he will. He'll honor you back, and you'll be changed. So I want to pray, and as soon as I'm done praying, you can come up for communion, you can come up for prayer, and the ushers will have a dry erase marker for every household. And my challenge to you would just be to go home Put up your favorite verse. Put up a verse you've always wanted to understand. And just write it on your mirror or on a window. And just start strapping that scripture on and working it. Just like we work the soil. And see what God will do in your life. You know, and if you have questions, there are many people that you can turn to. We have a whole deacon team. We have people that lead ministries that are trying to make these choices in their life to live for God. And they'd be more than happy to just to walk with you and talk with you or meet with you for a cup of coffee or come to your house. Don't leave out of here confused by anything I said. And don't forget to put your verse up. I'd love to see some pictures of it. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for today, Lord. You are so good. You are so good, God.